The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, faith, family, and freedom are under attack.
You know, if you chip away at something for 30 or 40 years, it eventually gives way. It eventually collapses.
Stay tuned as Jay Richards and James Robison call us to stand together before it's too late.
The secular left would love for Christians to decide, okay, well, you know, I believe in separation of church and state, so I won't talk about my moral views. So then they can just have the territory all to themselves.
I want to give you a personal invitation to come to the Indivisible book signing. We're going to be traveling to various areas of our country, and we would encourage you to come to see me and Jay Richards, and Betty's going to be there. Check the website to find out when we'll be in your area. Welcome to Life Today. Thank all of you for being here. I'm excited about the program. I'm James Robison. Betty and I are thrilled to have the co-author of the book, I'm the other author, Indivisible, Restoring Faith, Family, and Freedom Before It Is Too Late. Now, it's not too late, but it is later than most people think. And if we don't begin to correct our course, the catastrophic consequences of decades of quite frankly, God-forsaken thinking and policies based sometimes on good principles, but the policies are unsustainable and they don't work. And it doesn't matter how well you mean and your good intentions, if they don't work, they don't work. And we can't keep digging this ditch of debt, insurmountable. And notice this, Betty, this is so obvious. The smaller God becomes to people, the bigger the federal government gets. The bigger whatever you depend on becomes once God becomes smaller. And whatever you depend upon will begin to control you and ultimately destroy you. Jay Richards joined me to write the book. I want you to welcome Jay Richards to Life Today. Jay,
good to be with you.
I think it's important for our viewers to know that my finding you for me was a 3-year journey of prayer.
Yeah.
And knowing that I was to write a book dealing with the issues we face as a father, a grandfather, a husband deeply concerned about America and our direction. And God led me to you. And he led me to you when I read a book, Money, Greed, and God, which was about the economy and free market capitalism and how that's not the problem.
Right.
And I kind of coined the phrase from a biblical perspective that the fertile field is never the problem for the abuse of any farmer or any person. But you also in the book pointed out how clearly the Bible teaches the freedoms that we enjoy. And you talked about family and the social issues and how they matter too, but you weren't able to spend the time you wanted to. And when I saw where your heart was, I came to you and invited you to come and spend several days with me and Betty, and we did. And God welded our hearts together. And then you told me you were a Catholic. And everybody knows, well, this guy, he's a gun-slinging, right-wing Baptist evangelist, Protestant. And, you know, you're talking to a Catholic. I'm only talking to a Catholic. I love him. As a matter of fact, I love all Catholics. I love all people. So I don't really need to hear from any of you telling me I don't need to love somebody who may come from a different vein or a different thought pattern than I have. What God showed me, Jay, when we talked was that we needed to come together because God had already shown us the legitimate concerns and that we could do something together. And it's amazing, and we did it. How do you feel about the journey with your background and us working together?
It's one of the most exciting, if not the most exciting thing I've been involved with, James. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, from my perspective, I was in my office at Discovery Institute in Seattle, and you called me, you know, and said, oh, I have an idea. Why don't you come down here to Colorado and see us? I mean, you really had a couple of conversations, right. And so I came down. And you told me that your heart had been sort of moving in this direction and you wanted to write a book that would speak to the nation and were praying about someone that you could work with to do it. And from my perspective, I had this kind of book idea in me, but honestly, no idea of how it was ever gonna sort of work on it. But, you know, over a couple of months, we prayed and talked about it. And finally, I decided I usually don't get real clear directions from God, you know, on a red phone telling me exactly what to do. But, you know, I just prayed that if we were supposed to do it, God would work everything out. And he did. He worked it out spectacularly so that we could spend the last year working on this thing.
We brought together 71 major church leaders, including Catholics, all of the mainline media ministry leaders that you would know. You can go to jamesrobison.net, scroll back in the columns to Supernatural Gatherings, and you'll see a listing of ultimately 92 leaders who joined together, including Catholics. They were 100% behind us doing this together. They believed we were supposed to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, it felt very much like we were getting a message independently. Others were getting the message independently. It's not like we'd all come together 4 years ago and sort of, you know, colluded on this message. And that was one of the things that really confirmed it for me, is that people in different walks of life, different theological traditions, saying the same thing. And what we wanted to argue in the book, that the, you know, believers, Catholics and Protestants, as well as people that believe in family, and all the millions of Americans that believe in freedom and limited government and, you know, a vibrant economy, we want those people working together. And so it really made perfect sense that a team, a Catholic and an evangelical, would write the book together. It seemed, we thought, well, this hadn't been done very many times before, but the Lord works in mysterious ways and he can make things possible. And it came together beautifully, I think.
And now a miracle that the Hachette Faith Words Evangelical Press has joined with Ignatius Press, Catholic Press, and they're co-publishing the book. That's another supernatural miracle. Mm. Now, Betty, you've been just kind of watching. You've watched me literally. I mean, on my face before God for a long time. You've been brokenhearted for the nation. We're in trouble.
I have. I too have gotten a really big burden for our country. You know, as a Christian, I feel an accountability, a responsibility to be knowledgeable. Years ago, I couldn't have said that because I thought, well, I'm in my little Christian world, my little church world, and didn't really look beyond that. But now I know that I should, and I am, because I care about the future of our families, our children, our grandchildren. I care about where we are now as a country. And to realize that I, just me, can have a big part in the decisions that are made, the choices that we make. We've made some bad choices as a country. And I think as Christians, we've been asleep almost. And it's time to wake up. I feel that. I know that in my heart. I have to be accountable and knowledgeable about what the surroundings going on around me. I can be effective in it. And if we all see that and know that we can't just leave it up to government to make all our decisions, but we can have a part on who's in those places and have what really our hearts expressed through the decisions that are made.
Jesus said he is the light, and we are light in the world because the light's in us. We're to put that light on a lampstand. We're not to hide it. He says, don't cover it. Now, I think a lot of people have covered the light of Christ with all their theological arguments. They don't ever really magnify God. But there's a bigger way I've seen Catholics and Protestants hide the light. They get comfortable in their situation. They see the ugly out here. They see what goes on in the political world. A lot of good people don't even want to run because they know they're going to be blasted for any fault they ever had. And our great founders had faults and flaws. All the great Bible leaders had flaws, but they pressed on toward the standard of God's truth. Here's what's happened. Don't you miss this. You get settled in and you don't know it, but you also are covering the light by just taking care of business at home. Mm-hmm. But someone in Washington and someone in high places is giving you the business and destroying your business and building a government that is bigger and more dominant than Pharaoh ever was. And people are foolishly being dependent upon it. Now, this is what I have seen happening. This is what I felt called. And since you feel called, and it's why we wrote Indivisible, to try to get people to get that light back on the lampstand and then become a city set on a hill that cannot, and I've added these words for today, will not. That's affirmative. That's take action, take a stand. It's the city that cannot be hidden because we're standing together to illuminate the way, to illuminate the era of the way, and to correct the course. Now, I believe that this is what you and I have been called to do, to try to call people to stand together, to get the light out from under their own little security, get out here and make a difference in our nation. and change the course of our ship of state. Now, have I said that in any way that is it pretty well kind of sums up what we felt together? You have to
Absolutely.
Pardon me. I'm a preacher. You know, well, you hang out
with
professors.
It's hard to add to that, actually. It really is. But, you know, I shared this with you. I have a friend that has a lot of kids, homeschools kids, very nice situation, and he speaks for a lot of people I know that he really feels countercultural. I mean, if you have a lot of kids and you're homeschooling and you turn on the TV, everything seems to be against you. So the temptation to say, okay, well, I'm going to corral here, build my fence and have my own little world, and don't worry about, first of all, don't worry about politics, but you also start thinking, well, these political debates, they don't really matter. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians will come out of the, you know, out of the cave maybe once every 4 years, you know, cast a ballot. It either goes well, say, well, good, and you go back in the cave, or you lose, and then you say, well, the Lord's going to return anyway soon, so I'll just go back in the cave again. Well, the secularists don't think that way. They think incrementally. What they say is, you know, if you chip away at something for 30 or 40 years, it eventually gives way. It eventually collapses. And I think, frankly, that we as Christians need to think more like that, not in secular terms, but the reality is that we got to be in this for the long haul. Yes, we're concerned about specific elections. We're also concerned about what's happening in our communities and our churches and our families. And if we look internally, at least with respect to what we're doing, that's right. We want to get our own house in order. We want personal holiness as well as cultural renewal. But that's just the beginning. It's not the end. We're called to be salt and light in the culture, and you can't do that if you stay in your little safe cave.
Well, you know, I think that one of the finest comments of our book that we could have ever hoped to hear came from George Gilder, an incredible economist. He wrote Wealth and Poverty. He is so highly respected that President Ronald Reagan made him his most frequent quote, the individual he admired most in what he said. And the things that he recommended and put in place, absolutely fantastic. He did the Israel test, which is quite an exploration in the failure of socialism when they brought it into Israel. And it didn't work. And he went through this whole thing. Well, for him to say in our book, and he's an academic, he's brilliant, taken the truth and had really put to rest the error, the thought that the social and the economic and the moral and the fiscal can be separated. They can't. He said, and we concussively was the word he used, and conclusively and emphatically, we literally proved you can't separate. We talk about the family and marriage, and when that deteriorates, what it does to the economy, what the social ills do in the fiscal area.
Right.
And this, everybody says it's the economy. We're talking about the economy. Why don't we talk about family? Why don't we talk about marriage? Why don't we talk about the preciousness of life? And Jay, Catholics and Protestants say we believe life's precious. We believe marriage is important. We believe family is important. Well, that's what affects the economy more than anything else.
Absolutely.
And the government doesn't seem to get that at all.
No,
and the
right.
Academics and the entertainment community don't get it.
They don't. Even sort of so-called conservative pundits, you know, in certain places where there are lots of cameras and lots of news media, have been telling us for years that, well, these so-called social issues, don't talk about life, don't talk about marriage, that doesn't poll well, you know. Just focus on so-called economic issues. But we argue that, look, these things are inextricably tied. They're indivisible. One of the most important things for keeping people out of poverty, for instance, in the United States, is having a mother and a father in your home. In other words, the number one predictor of childhood poverty in the United States is whether that child has a father in his home. So in other words, a family issue is the most fundamental variable in whether someone's in poverty or not. So you just simply can't separate those. And so when people say, well, I just want to talk about the free market, I want to talk about limited government, well, what do you think is going to happen if every American family suddenly collapsed? This would not be a libertarian paradise where everybody's sort of free to do what they want to do. It'd be a world in which the state was involved in every private and personal decision that a person makes. That's not the paradise of limited government.
Well, don't you think we've been complacent in that, as Christians, we have been convinced and told that it's politically incorrect to involve ourselves in the economy, in the things of the country, the secular, so-called secular runnings of the country.
Yeah.
And that, oh no, we can't mesh the two together. Well, I want to know how you separate the two.
Absolutely. I mean, we're often told, well, don't
like you said,
try
it
to,
is.
Yeah, you're imposing your morality or you're legislating morality. It's the strangest thing that people say this, because I always say, Well, so what should we legislate? You know, like sports scores or the laws of physics or, you know, what are laws? Laws are the most fundamental sort of moral judgments we make as a culture. That's why we have laws against fraud. We have laws against stealing and killing, right? Those are moral decisions or moral judgments. Now, yeah, of course it's true that you don't have a law against every sin, against envy or anger that someone has in their hearts, of course. But these sort of fundamental moral questions are the very essence of politics. And so that's really the question. The secular left would love for Christians to decide, okay, well, you know, I believe in separation of church and state, so I won't talk about my moral views. So then they can just have the territory all to themselves. But it's really a sucker's bargain. Because, of course, you know, even atheists know that it's wrong to torture a small child for the fun of it, for instance. Everybody has moral knowledge. That's what you base your laws on. And so we have as much say in the public square as anyone, whether they believe in God or not.
But we don't say. We hide the light.
That's right.
We have the say. Mm-hmm. And what we've actually done is not to speak is to speak. Not to say is to say. Mm. We have not to act is to act. And Christians, for whatever reason, have pulled out. And here's the thing you need to understand. Jay and I are not called to a party. We're called to deliver the truth to all parties, to all people. This is not a book written for Democrats or Republicans or Libertarians or Independents. It is a book written to every person on planet Earth about eternal, unshakable, in our opinion, irrefutable truth. And we've put it out. And by the way, some of the greatest minds have said, and I know I get a little firm, I get a little worked up. Now, you pray I'll become a little calmer, because I'm really pretty stirred. I mean, I'm trying to be calm. But the thing that we really do believe that we've got something here that is so important that you've got to get it out. You don't hold it back. Absolutely. We believe it is imperative to get it out. That's why we feel like that we have written something that will take people in the direction that they're trying to go. And it is written to every person, to every candidate, in every political party. We believe the light of God. Catholics, Protestants, all believers, and all people who believe faith is important. Family is important. Freedom is important. We believe that every one of us have a responsibility to be well-informed, actively involved in the process of selection and choosing. Because the people we choose, they put the policies in place, they put the laws in place that we live under, or either encumbered by or assisted in our liberty to be able to function freely as our founders understood it. And we're about to lose that. I think we're very close to losing our freedom.
I do too. I mean, every 4 years, every presidential election, every big election year, people say it's a very important time. But I really do believe that this is the most important election year that the American Republic has ever had. I just think there's so many things converging. I don't think the economic policies, the deficit spending, it's just simply mathematics that we can't keep this up much longer. 4 years on, we'll be spending as much just paying the interest on the debt as we're spending on our entire defense, which is the main point of having a federal government. So this can't happen very long. So the person that's in the White House in 2012 is going to have some very tough decisions to make. He's going to have real intestinal fortitude and be able to bring the American people along to do some things that a lot of people aren't going to like. They're going to be unpopular. And so I think that's what we need to be praying for, someone that has both the right principles but also knows how to apply them properly in the right policies and the moral conviction and the character to be able to weather the storm.
The book is in the bookstores. I challenge you to get a copy, for a friend that you know is concerned about the country. You may even consider getting one for someone that has kind of pulled back, but you know they love their family. The other thing I'd really like to suggest you do, get one for your priest or your pastor. Encourage them to read it. And here, if you just say, well, look, I don't know how active I want to be, I promise you, we will point you to the issues about which we must pray. We must focus our prayers. Would you join me and Betty in saying thanks to Jay Richards for being our guest today and also for helping with this incredible endeavor. It's a real God has called me to this mission field. We love the mission fields of the world. We love to help the people who are downtrodden. We want to do more to help the downtrodden here. We want to get the wealth creators and the people who have created the wealth to quit just saying, well, I paid my taxes and now I did my due. We want them to focus their attention on trying to solve problems here at home too. Not just the government that has mismanaged our money worse than anybody on planet Earth. So we want to refocus some attention. Betty and I are mission-minded. We want America to be able to continually support missions, Australians to be able to do so, Europeans to do so. We want things to get right. I want you to look at something. A lot of times you'll see a challenge that you just can't figure out how to meet. a disease you don't know how to whip. I'm going to show you a problem there is a very simple cure for. It's not something we have to test. This works. I want you to listen to this doctor, and we've got the answer to what he addresses.
It depends on the type of illness, but in general, if a child has waterborne disease and he is not treated in the first 24 hours, he has a 60 to 70% chance of getting worse because of dehydration. After that, the child's body will probably shut down and die.
This is a place where we came to bathe, to wash our dishes, and we take the water back home and drink it. We cook our food in this water. They also bring the animals in here to wash them. The kids get sick often. They have diarrhea, fever, and vomiting. We take them to the health center almost each month, but they keep getting sick. My child right now is sick with diarrhea. A lot of children from this community have died. This water is contaminated. We know it, but there's nothing we can do about it.
But there is something we can do about it. I want to ask you to reach out and really touch someone with love. Right now, and throughout this program, people have been calling. Some of them perhaps concerned about what's going on in their family. Maybe in their country, something's on their heart. Maybe their heart's broken, so they call for prayer. Love pays for that call. But I want to ask you to call right now to say, you know what? I want to give those people a fresh, clean, non-contaminated water source. Let's drill them a well. We're going to drill hundreds of wells this year, and you're the one that determined how many. We have focused on 12 different nations, and we're asking you to help us drill the wells. Betty, they're $4,800. You and I have had the joy of asking God years ago, help us be able to do this. Please, dear God, and He answered our prayer because it was really in our heart to do it. And I believe that our viewers, there's some of you who can drill a well. There may be some who can drill more than one. Thank God there's some that do that. There are some who can give $1,200 and pray, Lord, give three more. The ability to give $1,200 and we'll have a well, or $2,400 and pray for one to match that. Some of you can drill a well, but Betty, there are many people who give $48, and that gives 10 people water for life. And the thing I think our viewers need to understand is the $48 that gives 10 people water for life, or the $144 that gives 30, that's just as important and perhaps more so even than those who give the entire well, because we don't have that many who can do that. But many can give 40.
That's right, James. And this should excite us. It excites James and me. We love giving opportunity for these families, these children. You heard the heart of that mother. She knows the water is bad. But what can she do? Well, this is the answer. We can go in and drill these water wells and give them a choice. Which would you think they'd take, the clean water or the muddy, diseased water? I know. Please help us be a part of doing this.
Well, we know Jesus said, if you give just a cup of water in my name, you don't lose your reward. And you let Him determine the reward. But as far as Betty and I are concerned, the fact we gave the water is reward enough. To see a child have health and a chance at life, that's reward enough. We're sending, by the way, these beautiful little coffee mugs. One of them is represents the clean water. The other one, of course, it's just tan. It represents the contaminated, but they're beautiful coffee mugs. You'll enjoy them, but I think every time you use them, and you will, you'll pray for people to have clean water. We're asking you to make the best gift you can. We want to send you the book, Believe This, Not That. Don't believe the lies, believe the truth. And if you'll drill a well or give a gift of $1,200 or more, we want to send the beautiful bronze, The Lion and the Lamb. It's absolutely beautiful. Please, right now, dial that number. We're going to send you some gifts to bless you, but you're going to be making a gift that gives life. It gives these children and their families a chance. Thank you for making that call. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org. Use your bank card like it's a check. Father, I pray every person watching, please, Lord, touch their heart, and every person watching will give something Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you for making that call. Thank you for making that gift.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is that there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we will begin drilling 350 new water wells for remote villages in 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Believe This, Not That, a brand new topical Bible promise book that will encourage you in every area of life. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request our newly for Life mug set, a daily reminder of the clean water you make possible to those who thirst. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and be sure to request the 2012 commemorative bronze sculpture, The Lamb and the Lion. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
This is an absolutely beautiful, beautiful bronze. I love that. I can't help but say, you know, I know the day will come and the lion will lie down with the lamb, but right now Betty and I are praying we can help get the, and Jay and I, get the elephant to lie down with the donkey. Wouldn't that be refreshing? I want you to get the book, Indivisible. If you care about the direction of our country, you want to know how to pray and what to do, I believe we're going to give you as clear a picture as you could ever ask for. I believe it's an answer. I believe what we put here is an answer to your prayers. So we're going to see an answer to Jesus' prayers, that we be one, perfected in unity, and that His will be done. Would you join Betty and me in saying thanks to Jay Richards? Jay, thank you. Thank you for your help. Thank you for joining us. Thank all of you for watching live today. Encourage your friends to watch. Thanks for your help drilling wells.
Faith, family, and freedom are under attack. James Robison and Jay Richards encourage a divided America to stand together before it's too late. Indivisible, available now through online and retail bookstores.
I am excited about coming to many areas of our country. Check the website to see when and if we'll be in your area. The Indivisible Book Tour. This is the way to lead our great nation out of the wilderness back into the land of blessing and promise. Don't miss it.
Join us tomorrow as Sheila Walsh interviews James and Jay Richards as they challenge us to become one nation truly under God. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.